He knows when we have a problem. He knows our heartfelt needs, even before perhaps we're able to articulate them. Whenever you and I whisper out in the dark shadows of the night a prayer from the heart, we can be assured that our Lord Jesus knows how to bring about the healing we each need, unique to each and every one of us. In Mark's gospel today, we're made privy of this woman's innermost thoughts. We can hear her saying to herself these words, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Every time I read that particular verse, all I can say is what an incredible faith this woman demonstrates. And even more amazing are the results that come from this woman's act of faith. This desperate woman reaches out through the thronging crowd, touches Jesus, and Mark tells us immediately she is made well. Mark loves that word. Immediately, he writes, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. For longer than she could even remember, that had been a part of her life journey. But with just a touch, a faith-filled connection to reach out to Jesus, her condition is changed forever. At the very instant that she is touching Jesus, Jesus also knows. And I love this language in today's story. He felt a power going out from him through that act of faith. Mark's gospel tells us that he cries out, "Who touched my clothes?" And there's a bit of humor here, at least for me, as the disciples are scratching their heads, mystified by this and saying, "Why would you say that, Lord? Just look at the crowd. Everybody's touching you." It was like getting her hand caught, though, in the cookie jar as this woman feels the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, touching her. With Jesus' very words, this woman feels exposed. Now the secret was out. Her condition that she had kept to herself, this embarrassing private need of hers that she had spent years trying to keep from everyone else, now was made public. And why? Why would Jesus do such a thing? Well, I think that's the key point here also to take away. To everyone listening, Jesus wanted to make all aware that this woman's healing was far more than just physical. And it's revealed in the way that Jesus addresses the woman. He calls her out and addresses her as daughter, to remind her that her relationship with the living God has now been restored. She has been brought into the fold again, and he wanted everyone to hear that. And then rather than talk about the healing of her body, Jesus goes on with these words, "Your faith has made you well." The very act of her reaching out to Jesus, that's where the healing came. And so he says, "Go in peace. And oh, about the rest of it, you are healed of your disease." Friends, I think this is a beautiful story that we all need to wrap our hearts and our minds around today. Without a doubt, everyone in this room, without exclusion, is in need of healing in some form or other. Maybe our healing need has a personal nature to it that only we know in the secrets of our hearts. Maybe it does have to do with our bodies. Perhaps our healing is about an important relationship that we know needs to be restored. Maybe there's a matter in our families that has defied healing, with a son or a daughter or a spouse or extended family member, and we're still holding the burden of being concerned about it. Maybe we're at our wits' end about some situation in our lives that we just can't even talk about anymore. Maybe there's a secret concern that we are holding on to. It has us in its grip, and we don't know where else to turn. Whatever it is, dear friends, This is good news for us today as we read of Mark's gospel. Because Jesus, our Lord, is saying wherever he is and whenever we reach out to him and invite him into our lives, he brings healing. I say that boldly today. I say it with confident faith. When we invite Jesus, when we welcome him into the midst of our most vulnerable selves, he brings healing. I hope that's a source of comfort to all of us as we hear that good news. But being realistic, I know that we wrestle with that good news far more than we probably should. And maybe that's part of the reason why we often miss the healing that our Lord wants for us. Time after time throughout my Christian journey, and especially as a pastor, I've walked with people and I have longed for healing alongside of them as we stood at hospital bedsides and as we prayed for loved ones and we yearned for healing in that physical sense that would restore them more fully to us, only to have that prayer seem to fall silent upon God's ears. And yet I've learned over the years that sometimes, no matter how badly we want something, that may or may not be the healing that God has in mind. And sometimes it takes a growing sense of awareness of that reality and that truth. So at least for a brief time this morning, I want to wrestle with this a little bit with you, being vulnerable and honest, as we seem to all have these why questions that haunt us in life. Why it doesn't happen the way we think it should. Now, of course, to wrestle with some of these thoughts, I want to put into place, at least in your minds and in mine as well, some fundamental truths that kind of anchor such a conversation. And the first truth that I'd like to invite you to hold with me is, simply stated, life just happens. Now, that doesn't sound like a really deeply spiritually grounded point to make. But in the face of confounding events and circumstances, there just aren't always answers that explain why something occurs. Wouldn't you agree? This is why we often ask ourselves, why do bad things happen to good people? We've scratched our heads over that for generations. Today's story is a case in point. It really doesn't matter if you're a person of deep faith, like the religious leader of Jairus. He still suffered. He still struggled as he watched his daughter draw nearer and nearer to death. Or how about the woman, labeled unclean, socially outcast? She too had struggled for years. It seems that sufferings and struggles are part and parcel of our lives together. Life at times can knock all of us for a loop, whether we're prepared for it or not. And lately, as we've been hearing news and seeing on social media all the destruction of flooding in southern Minnesota and across Iowa and on into South Dakota, it would seem that those situations clearly attest that life just happens. We know this side of heaven, friends, there are no guarantees that you and I are always going to wind up on the more favorable side of life's equation. So what do we do with that? Well, it brings me to the second fundamental truth that I want to try to ground in each of us. When facing the whys of life, we need to have a growing sense, I believe, of what faith is all about, especially faith in God. And it isn't about what necessarily happens to us, but more about how we handle what happens to us. Picture in your minds again the story that Deacon Joanne lifted up last week as we have the contrast of Jesus and the disciples in that boat out on the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples are rowing to beat the band, trying to save their lives. They're deeply concerned. And where is Jesus? in the bow of the boat, sound asleep, at peace, calm, and confident in his God. Confident that God is totally in control at all times. And the disciples, they are overwhelmed by the chaos and concerned that they're going to lose their lives. They cry out in some disdain to Jesus, and all that Jesus can say is, "Peace, be still," and then to teach about faith. "Where is your faith?" he says. "Why do you fear?" Here is the living God in their presence, and they still struggle and doubt. It's that contrast of faith that I wrestle with, and I suspect that all of us do at one time or another, because life becomes overwhelming, and sometimes we got to draw a line in the sand and say, "Enough. Where is your faith, Dave? Where is your trust in the living God?" Faith is a strength. It's a power source for us. But faith can do very little if we don't build on it, and most especially if we don't seek to act upon it, to use our faith. And that's probably the greatest spiritual test that any of us have, to trust that God is God and to act on that. As I say that to you today, I want to share with you a brief image that I carry with me often. And maybe I'm thinking of this because 48 years ago this week, I began basic training at the United States Air Force Academy as a brand new cadet, 17 years of age, in Colorado. And as my training unfolded, I spent 4 years in that institution, commissioned as a second lieutenant, and along the way, an experience that I had that still is a part of my life is choosing, for whatever reason, to jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute, to learn free fall parachuting. But ever since that experience, I've been able to apply that remarkable experience to what I think of every time I wrestle with faith. Because faith is never meant to be something that we just sit on a shelf. It's meant to be something that's active, that we engage in. As you may well know, when you're in the military, they train you very well, and the Air Force did their job. For weeks, I learned how to prepare myself to jump out of an airplane. They taught me how to position my body, how to fall gently through space, to deploy my chute, how to land so that I wouldn't harm my body. They even took us to the place where they pack those parachutes so that we could build confidence that everything was just going to work exactly the way it was meant to. We even had a backup spare chute across our tummies. So there was no reason why Dave Swanger could not do this. But I have to tell you, when you're 2,000 feet in the air and you peer out that door for the first time and it's your turn to go, and there's nothing between you and the ground 2,000 feet below but air, your heart swells up and goes up into your throat and you feel, "I'm not sure I can do this." But I did. I did it numerous times. And as I did so, I thrust myself out there completely in an act of total dependence on what I'd learned in order to do the job. Now, why do I share such a picture for you? Because I believe that this story today, yes, it's about healing, but I think it's also more about faith. Faith in the living God. To trust in the one that can do what we need most, and to believe that that is so. To thrust ourselves fully into the caring and loving arms of this living God who has made us unique and wonderful. And no matter whatever the struggles are, and no matter how hard the pathway is, to continue to walk in that active faith, thrusting ourselves fully and completely and with total vulnerability into the arms of our loving God. The woman in our story today modeled that for me. And I hope that you'll think about her more this woman that reached out after she tried everything. She went to physicians and she pursued many other courses. But it wasn't until she reached out and acted upon her faith in this Jesus that she had heard of that her whole life changed. There's got to be something to that. And so I invite you to think about the healing that you need and to trust the one who truly does provide, not necessarily what we want, when we want it, but leads us to what we need. May it be so for all of us.